Personal experiences. I feel the NHS has our back. Julia Tickridge describes applying for continuing healthcare funding, CHC, on behalf of her husband Laurie as one of the hardest things she's ever done. It was also heartwarming and acknowledged her role as carer. In her own words, Julia talks about going through the CHC process and what she did to be able to present the strongest possible case to the CHC assessor. Laurie was diagnosed with PSP in 2018. Like many, the path to diagnosis was lengthy and further complicated by issues relating to a major spinal surgery operation on his neck in 2014 and a meningioma, benign brain tumour, which required gamma knife radiation treatment. Since then, I've been Laurie's main carer, but by September 2021, it was becoming too much. I knew I needed more support to get on the radar of all support services. I arranged for a carer's assessment and I also asked for mental health support from the GP. After the carer's assessment, I received a small allocation of respite to give me a few hours of help. We got a personal assistant, PA, who'd sit with Laurie while I could focus on other things. This was a huge help, and alongside the support from our local hospice, we were able to manage quite well for a while, until Laurie's needs further increased. Adding pressure to my caring duties was the fact that we didn't have anyone locally to coordinate Laurie's care. I was doing that role and ensuring all care professionals were informed and joined up. When I shared this with the hospice, they said I could ask for a complex case manager at the GP's. At the meeting with the complex case manager in December 2023, we went through the CHC checklist. I knew about CHC packages, but I just assumed we wouldn't be eligible and that it was too early for CHC funding. But when I worked through PSPA's CHC document that lists the 12 domains, I saw that Laurie was potentially eligible. The CHC checklist appointment took 2 hours. I had to be very clear about PSP symptoms, and the way it affects a person may not always be obvious. I knew I had to really advocate for Laurie. We were told a CHC assessor would come to our home for a meeting. I sprang into action to be as prepared as possible. I spoke to the palliative care consultant about what I should do to get ready for the meeting. They suggested having someone there to support me. I contacted PSPA's helpline to see if helpline manager Julia Brown would be happy to attend via Zoom. It was a huge relief when she said yes. I knew with Julia I'd have an advocate in the room. I also asked other members of Laurie's healthcare team to attend. Laurie's speech and language therapist, physiotherapist, orthoptist, PA, and Julia from PSPA were there for the meeting, some in person and some via Zoom. I'd prepared myself for a challenging meeting and I knew we had to prove that Laurie's needs were healthcare non-means tested rather than social care that is means tested. It's so important to keep a record and have written evidence. I'd asked the neurologist at the National Hospital for Neurology and Neurosurgery at Queen Square in London for a letter of support. They wrote a really comprehensive letter detailing Laurie's health needs and how it impacts him. Alongside this, I had letters from the speech and language therapist, neurophysio team, consultant nurse from the Cognitive Disorders Clinic at Queen Square in London, palliative care consultant, and hospice social worker. I'd also kept a diary for the last 9 months where I documented everything I could about his daily life, along with how I managed risks, including choking and falling. I was only given 10 days' notice of the meeting taking place, so it was a bit of a scramble to get everything ready to make sure we had presented his needs as fully and comprehensively as we could. The nurse consultant advised me to ensure I cover all my interventions as a carer too. The meeting itself was actually a really positive experience. It was touching to see everyone there for Laurie. The assessor told us that she was going to recommend Laurie for a CHC funded care package. 2 days later, we received a letter confirming Laurie's CHC funding and that a care plan would be written. They also sent the report that was incredibly comprehensive. As part of Laurie's care package, I'm entitled to 4 weeks of respite care. This brought tears to my eyes as I never had a break. And to hear acknowledgement of my role as a carer was very touching. I'd recommend to anyone to prepare as much as possible and gather your team together to speak on your behalf. It's worth bearing in mind that while all the people involved in Laurie's case were brilliant, the system is very slow and it took 3 months before we received any funding. It's also worth remembering that continuing is the key word. You have to continue to show the healthcare need, and the funding is assessed initially after the first 3 months and then annually. To support this, I still keep a diary and I complete risk assessments to show what I need to do to keep Laurie safe. We wanted to be together at home for as long as possible. Laurie's funding enables us to do this. There are days when I feel like I'm running a care home with a VIP patient, but overall I feel like the NHS has our back. Julia's top tips. Keep a diary, including anything you do to manage risks like falls and choking. Ask your neurologist and other healthcare professionals for letters detailing PSP and how it affects daily life. Make sure you're in contact with your local hospice. They provide amazing support to both the patient and the carer. Download PSPA's CHC information sheet and checklist at www.pspassociation.org.uk/information-and-support/ just-diagnosed/PSPA-publications. Make sure you have support during the meeting. Ask your healthcare team to be there. PSPA's helpline team may be able to come along to CHC assessor meetings to support your application. Remember, you'll have to continually show the need for the CHC funding.